Our first reading today comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 32. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." And then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" Our second Bible reading comes from 2 Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 29. "For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature upon heaven, under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that he powerfully inspires within me.
They arrived early one morning to find that while they had not been there, an unexpected guest had made themselves welcome and at home. On the communion table were the remnants of a simple meal, some goods taken from the basket that was ready for those in need. There were burned matches lying on the table, evidence that light was needed for the meal to be prepared. A spoon lay next to the mostly finished can of food, along with the can opener next to it. With no sign of forced entry and no other damage to any other part of the chapel or surrounding buildings, these people were led to assume that an angel, a holy stranger, had found welcome at the table even when the people were not present. Of course, it took some time to gently shift away from the sense of violation and shock that someone had been in the sanctuary when they, the church, were not there. And despite assurances there was no damage and there was no forced entry, people still wandered around, wondering aloud how this person got in and what else did they do. No, there's no sign of forced entry, but have you checked that door? Have you checked those windows? What else was stolen? Nothing was stolen. Eventually, the nature of the nighttime visit passed from people's minds. Sometimes hospitality occurs even beyond the realms of physical interaction. Hospitality occurs even beyond the realms of physical interaction. Perhaps the unknown visitor knew the church would be the one place where safety would be offered and provision of food would also be available, even when nobody else was there. How do we capture the astonishing revelation, Christ is risen? Apart from storytelling, apart from poetic vision and the deep longing of our Creator to rescue and to transform and restore and gift holy people with the original gift of holy awareness, how do we capture that? The story of Jesus' resurrection being experienced by his disciples overflows and overwhelms with simply too many significant details. The hymn from Colossians, "He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. In him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." This hymn resonates in glorious language, the astounding grandeur of the vista of God's kingdom. There is so much told that it simply cannot be contained in today's service. And yet, even with the great and glorious details that we have heard today, this astonishing revelation and astounding grandeur of the vista of God's kingdom can be witnessed and embodied in two simple activities. The gathering of people around the table is as commonplace here as it is in Bangladesh, as it is in schools, as it is in cafes, in our homes, at park benches, and even on walking trails. Everywhere we are, people are gathering around the table. For those who are blessed with holy vision, we are constantly searching the hearts of women, children, and men, and to see there the one blessed with the mystery of the gospel, Christ in you. We keep this simple acknowledgement and profound testimony, Christ in you. The risen Christ, the redeeming Christ, the presence of Christ is in the heart of all. And our task is to simply take the time to search out the Christ in another. It is not about whether they have confessed or said the right words or had the right actions or meet our criteria, whether they go to church on Sundays, Saturdays, or in between, or whether they are of that faith or this faith. Christ is the proclamation of the gospel. Christ is in you. One part of the testimony of Resurrection Sunday is that when we break bread together, when we participate in the blessing of the food and the gathering of the people, our eyes are opened. And we recognize, we're supposed to recognize, the presence of Christ in another. When we listen to the conversation and seek to hear the scripture embedded and embodied in the presence of the person among us. This is our simple task. If we could but let go of the fear and the deadening burden of thinking that we have to make it happen. God has raised Jesus from the dead. Christ is risen not by our hand, not by our prayers, not by our joy or our fervent hope. Beyond us, and within us the fullness of God is always pleased to dwell, and we watch with illuminated, waiting and willing hearts. When we look at the eyes of another with holy trust, the mystery is quite simply revealed. Christ in you. The second activity, which is always a seeming joy in which to participate, this act of baptism, which we have celebrated with Daniel today, reminds us all of the necessity to be a people committed to the ways of God, to be vigilant in prayer, to be honest in our generosity, to be compassionate with our mercy and open with our hospitality. The stranger at the table has now become the companion along the way, and we are now blessed with the sacred duty of helping Daniel. It's our sacred responsibility to teach Daniel Christ in him. That's your job. It's not Mark's and it's not Verity's. It's not family and grandparents. It's your job. As much as it is Daniel's task to teach you Christ in you. It's our sacred responsibility to practice with Daniel the holy vision of looking at another and seeing Christ in them. This is painstaking work. Make no bones about it, it's hard work. It's set for many obstacles and challenges along the way. To look in the eyes of another and see in them the sacred work of God's redemptive activity already underway can be easy when I'm refreshed, satisfied, and I'm not flustered or feeling angered, annoyed, disappointed, betrayed, hurt, or wounded. And even that banal of experience, not having had my first coffee for the morning. But when I experience or feel any of those things, Christ in you is covered with a thick layer of muck. The eyes of our hearts, the ears of our souls are covered with a shroud. Christ in them? Not likely. But it's our responsibility. Paul says, Jesus invites Cleopas and his fellow companion. It's our responsibility to walk with Daniel, to walk with one another, teaching one another to see Christ. This is challenging and it is difficult and it will be time consuming and it will be rigorous, not least because while we are teaching Daniel how to see with this newfound vision of Christ before him, we also keep looking. We are also keep seeing, to keep listening to the holy other in our midst, to see the stranger who's been here when not even we have been here. And yet it's the simplest gift we can offer. It's the simplest thing to do because we now know the mystery of the good news which for so long has been hidden. Christ in you. And so when the unexpected and perhaps uninvited guest comes to our table and breaks bread with us, even when we are not there, the reverberation of this morning's jubilant cry, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, echoes with the cry of Paul, and Christ in you. Not even an amen? Okay. Amen. It's too late. Cue people. You see, this is all too much to speak in one message in one service. It would take me days to unpack it all, and sure, there are questions that need to be answered. But the words that we have shared keep telling us of the more magnificent story that is contained within. I baptize you into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, into the Holy One and Three, Three and One. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ in you. Amen. Amen.